This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
She's a Canadian-born doctor fighting COVID-19 right now in New York City. And just days ago, in the fight of her life, she found out that her green card has been denied. And I can just imagine how that would shake you to your very core. Dr. Julia Iafredi joins us right now. She's the sports and dance medicine assistant prof at Columbia University in New York City. Doctor, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
So obviously, with sports and dance medicine being your background, you have to think that this COVID-19 battle that you're fighting right now, that you jumped in on a volunteer basis to lend your medical expertise. Did you not?
Yes, I did. That's correct.
So tell us how you ended up, working inside to fight COVID-19 in New York City. Walk us through that.
Sure. So obviously, I did my training here in the States, my medical school, as well as my residency and fellowship. And I was lucky enough to train at the Mayo Clinic for my residency. And so I got a really good, all-around medical education. And so I started working here at Columbia in New York City just over 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago. So I'm still very close to all of my general medicine training. So even though I've now hyper-specialized in sports and dance medicine and, like, interventional orthopedics, I still have that background of internal medicine that I was able to fall back on. So when COVID hit New York like a hurricane, my hospital asked for volunteer physicians, nurses, anybody to volunteer to come to the front lines and help out in, whatever way we could. And so with my interventional expertise, I was initially redeployed to the emergency department to help out with patients there. And then once we started having a lot of patients that were requiring ventilation, we needed to expand our ICUs, and so we actually turned our ORs into ICUs, and so my team got redeployed there. So I was a physician helping take care of some of the patients in the ICUs.
Well, number one, thank you for doing what you're doing. And number two, could you possibly convey to us what it's been like to work in these situations, the emergency room, the triage? I mean, all we can think of as a comparison, and we've made it on The Rush before, is sort of like the old TV show MASH, where it was just a triage. You're just working as fast as you possibly can in crazy conditions. Is that what it was like and what it is like?
Kind of, yes. So initially, that's exactly what it was like. It was just like this madhouse, this mad rush of everyone thinking, oh my gosh, I think I have COVID, and coming into the hospital. And then it kind of got to the point where our ERs were getting so flooded with patients that people were getting sick waiting in the waiting room, number one. And number two, people started getting scared. And so some people started staying home more. We put a rule out so that patients had to come by themselves. They couldn't come with any significant others or loved ones, just because we wanted to try to keep our numbers down in terms of the potential spread. And so then we started getting a backup of patients stuck in our ERs because we couldn't put them anywhere. We didn't have, the reinforcements yet. And so lucky for us, my hospital, New York Presbyterian, Columbia, they did a great job of kind of expanding our ICUs into the ORs, for example. And then we also opened up a field hospital on one of our campuses and used that almost like, you would see during a war, a battle hospital. And so then there became this like eerie silence in a lot of the ORs and the ERs, because it was just patient upon patient upon patient on a ventilator. So it's quiet except for these beeps until, something terrible happens. So it's this odd, eerie silence, and then the shoe drops, and you have to rush in to try to take care of someone. So it's been a very interesting environment, because I'm not necessarily used to working in that environment anymore. I take care more of livelihood than lives now. Mm-hmm. I focus on functional medicine and making sure that people are as healthy as they can be, keeping someone alive is not technically something I do really anymore. Just in my practice, I focus on musculoskeletal medicine. So it was, I felt like I was going back to residency, to be honest.
Dr. Ifridi, it's fairly chilling when you say that. I mean, just to observe that and to hear your words where you talk about a very silent room where there are human lives in there, and those beeps, every one of those beeps represents a human that is in there fighting for their lives. If you could take the doctor hat off for a second maybe and just tell me from a human point of view, what does that do to you emotionally?
It's terrible. It is wearing down on all of the medical providers that work there. It's amazing to see how they band together, how we all, everyone's doing a job that they don't normally do, and yet nobody's complaining about it. We're all just helping each other out the best way we can. And so there's this feeling of camaraderie when you're in it, but then when you go home, and you have to be alone and away from your family and away from anyone else who cares about you because you're afraid that you have such a high viral load that you've probably contracted COVID and you may be asymptomatic, maybe not, but you're just trying to stay away from anyone to decrease the risk of you spreading it in case you are infected. Because a lot of us were going to work, potentially sick. We weren't testing at the early points because we didn't have enough tests. So you just come home and you're exhausted and you're deflated and you question. There's a lot of people saying, oh, this is a hoax, or this, open the border, open this, open that. We want to go back to work. And I understand the frustration, but you don't want to be in the hospitals right now. Like, you don't want to have to be there, And so that part of the human emotion just like really just breaks your heart. It truly does.
So here you are pushing yourself to your very limit physically, emotionally, using your job skill set, going home alone, and then you find out that the American government has denied your green card. What a punch in the gut.
Yeah, I mean, the timing is just absolutely terrible, for sure. I applied for this green card a long time ago. We've done, we did an application, and then we actually had to file a request for further evidence for them, and so we did that application too. And my initial application was 500 pages long. The follow-up application was 200 pages. It's, there's just a ton of information on there, and then, 8 days after we get this immigration ban, I get the denial letter, and I don't know if it has anything to do with it. I have no idea because I don't know how the USCIS is functioning right now. But it was just really a punch in the gut for me because I consider New York my home. I've lived here a long time now, and I take care of the citizens of this city to the best of my ability. And then to be told like what I'm doing doesn't matter or isn't good enough, or it really hurt, to be honest.
I know you said New York is your home. You sound like a fantastic human. The idea that you're on there on the front lines, a lot of us would step back when people like you step forward. Have you considered coming back to Canada at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with my family about it over the years, and especially recently, they're all worried about me all the time, and they check in on me a ton, which is, so sweet of them. I've been out of Canada for a very long time. My entire adult life, I've basically been here in the States. It would be a huge change for me to come back to Canada. I'd have to, re-get licensed and all, get my new licensure. I'd have to look for a new job. I'd have to rebuild a practice. Like, especially here in the States, you don't just kind of fall into a practice. You have to build up your name. And so, have I considered it? Yes. Would I do it? Of course, but it's just hard for me to fathom it, I guess, just because I've truly made a life here, and I'm happy with what I've achieved, and I'm on a trajectory that I'm really proud of, and I just feel like it would really crush, this kind of important point in my career to have to go back to square one.
I will say, we just got a text message from somebody named Meredith who says she's an old soccer friend of yours. So,
oh my gosh, hi, Mer.
So she's listening. So even though it's been a while, you've got some friends here.
Oh, that's so sweet. I love Canada. I really do. And I'm proud of everything that country represents. Absolutely. And I love coming home to visit. I really do. But I just want to do my job and do it well. And if I get to do it here in New York, I'm going to be really happy. But, you know, if I can't, and that's just not what God has planned for me, then, you know, of course I'll come home and I'll do my best there too. I mean, that's how I was raised, right? It's what you got to do.
Julia, again, thank you for doing what you're doing, wherever it is that you're doing it. It is appreciated. Stay safe, okay? And good
luck. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.